Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I forget. Right? Anybody else feel that way? Man, I used to laugh at old people. Man, Kate, why can't you remember? It's just three things at a grocery store: eggs, milk, and bread. And then I find myself walking around the grocery store thinking, I know my wife told me three things, and I only got two, and I'm going to be in trouble. The older I get, the more I forget. And so I don't know about you, but I set reminders, right, on my phone, or I got little sticky notes around on my car and things so I don't forget. And I just came this morning to give you a reminder. I just want to give you a reminder today, because I think when we look at our world, when we look at everything going on in our world, whether it's with COVID or it's political or it's economically, whatever it is, it's easy to wonder, where is God? It's easy to wonder, if God is who God says he is, why are we dealing with what we're dealing with? And this morning, I came to give you a reminder today that regardless of what's going on in our world, God is in control. Our God is in control. He's in control whether we understand it or not. He's in control whether we believe it or not. How many of you know truth isn't determined by whether we believe it? Truth is truth regardless of who believes it. He is in control whether we see it or not. God's not stressed out about anything. He's in control, and it's not even hard for him. And that's the reminder I want to bring to you today. I want to pray, and then I want to walk you through Acts chapter 12 and show you some things today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence that is here today. God, you said that when we join together as believers, you would be in the midst of us. And God, you are faithful to your word today. God, we thank you for your word. God, you said in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God. Father, today we pray for the wisdom of God to come from the word of God, that when we leave this place, we wouldn't say what a great worship set we had or what great preaching we heard, but God, we would say, what a great God we serve today. Bless your word. We thank you that your word never returns void. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Cody. So I want to walk you through Acts chapter 12 today and share some things with you. So Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we'll start there. It says, it was about this time that King Herod, now Herod was a title, it was not a name. And this is Herod Agrippa. He was the grandson of Herod the Great, who tried to kill Jesus, tried to kill all the newborn babies in order to kill Jesus. Herod Agrippa was also the nephew of Herod Antipas, who killed John the Baptist. So he's a ruthless ruler. And it says, about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James. This was not James, the brother of Jesus. This was the James of one of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. So he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So my first thought for you today is this, is that God is in control even when we suffer. God is in control even when we suffer. You know, we have developed a theology for ourselves that doesn't allow suffering to be of God. Anytime we suffer, we begin to rebuke the devil, or we question God. God, how could you let this happen? Or we immediately pray for God to take it from us. And yet in Scripture, God tells us we will go through hardship. We will go through seasons where things aren't always so easy. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy over trials? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Did you hear what James said there? He said that when we go through difficulty, it's for a purpose. God never wastes anything, that God is using it for our benefit. Even though we're not interested in suffering, and many have thrown it out of their theology, God still uses it to refine his children. And we need to remember today, when we suffer, God is not abandoning us. No, God is actually moving toward us. It's not a season of God deserting us, but rather God being right there walking with us through our difficulty. Listen, we can say that that trials and tribulations aren't of God, but our theology must be based on the truth of God's word. And we need to remember God loves us. But God's love isn't a pampering love. God's love isn't a spoiling love. You know, when your kids are little, it's tempting to just spoil them, right? And then they get to be teenagers and you want to cast the devil out of them. God's love isn't a pampering love or a spoiling love. Listen, God's love for us is a perfecting love. God's perfecting love has appointed for his children at times a season of suffering. And we need to remember that God is in control even when we suffer. And because of his goodness, he works it out for our good. How does he do that? Well, we need to remember today that God is sovereign. Sovereign is simply a word that means supreme authority with everything under his control. God is sovereign. Anybody in here play chess? Y'all play chess? I don't play chess. I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't know. But you know, if you're just an average chess player and you're playing against a chess master, no matter what move you make, that chess master knows what move to make next in order to win. This is the sovereignty of God. This is a picture of the sovereignty of God. No matter what move you make, God is ready. No matter what move the wicked makes, God is ready. He's always ready to make the necessary move in order to advance his mission and his good purpose for us. And we got to remember, God's got a purpose for us. Amen? Listen, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The early church had to be wondering, how can this be happening? James is dead. Peter's in prison. Think about all that they had seen from Acts chapter 1 now to Acts chapter 12. They saw the day of Pentecost there in the second chapter of Acts. They saw in the same chapter 3,000 people saved in one day. You remember in chapter 3, Peter goes to the crippled beggar there by the temple and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee. And the man gets up and walks. Many are healed. Simon the sorcerer is saved. We see the conversion of Saul to Paul. We see God doing great things, and now Peter's in prison and James is dead, and they've got to be wondering, how is God allowing this to happen? Maybe you're here today thinking, I know some people need to hear this, but I'm really sincere in my faith and God always protects me. Listen, that's awesome, but I just want to remind you today that sincerity doesn't exempt us from suffering. Well, I'm very involved in the church and I give to ministries. Listen, that's awesome, but service doesn't exempt us from suffering. Well, I'm a mature believer and I've been a believer for a long time. Listen, maturity doesn't exempt us from suffering. Our theology must be secure in this. God loves me, God is for me, and I can trust God no matter what. Listen, God loves me, God is for me, and I can trust him regardless of what I face. We should never say, if God really loved me, he would not, you fill in the blank. If God really loved me, he wouldn't let me go through. If God really loved me, he wouldn't take. God loves us, he is for us, and we can trust him today. This Christmas Eve will be the 2-year anniversary of my youngest sister's death. There are 7 kids in our family. And two Christmas Eves ago, she passed away after a 4-year battle of cancer. And the last week of her life, she said this. She said, if I could go back 4 years and be cancer-free, but miss the journey that God brought me on, I would choose this journey, including death, over cancer-free. Because what God has done in me would have never been done had I not gone through this trial. That's a perspective. That's a perspective, understanding that God loves me, God is for me, and even though I stare death in the face, I can trust God no matter what. Listen, God is in control even when we suffer. The second thought for you is this: God is in control even when it's midnight. Verse 4 says this: after arresting him, Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Did you hear that? Listen, Herod put 16 soldiers to guard one man. You know what that meant? That Herod, who was wicked, knew God was in control. Herod, who was wicked, knew that nothing is impossible with our God. Peter had been in prison before in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. Listen, in verse 5 here, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Listen. Peter, he's in prison and he's sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Now, anybody ever been to jail before? You're in church, don't lie in church. Listen, I drive really slow through St. Martin Parish, and I'll tell you why. Because when I was 19 years old, I was on my way to Bible college. And I was passing on I-10 through St. Martin Parish, and I got pulled over for speeding. 92 and a 55. I was on my way to Bible college. Judge not, lest you be judged. The officer wrote a ticket, set a court date. And that morning I woke up, and I lied to my mama. I told her I was going to play golf, because I had some money on me. I thought I'd just go pay my ticket. And I get before the judge, and the judge is obviously having a bad day, I guess. And after he says what he says, he goes, I sentence you to 3 days in jail and a $350 fine. If you can't pay the $350, you spend 30 days. And then he says this, he tells the bailiff, he says, bailiff, take him away like I'm a hardened criminal or something. I was going to Bible college. I remember the bailiff being an older man. We're walking down what seemed like the Green Mile, right there in St. Martin Parish. Now, this is before Sheriff Terrio, who I know would have bailed me out. This was in 1985. Were you in power in 85? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure you didn't keep me in jail. So I'm walking down the Green Mile, and I ask what probably any 19-year-old innocent kid would ask the bailiff. I said, when do I come back and serve this? He chuckled. He said, son, you're here. I said, I can't be here. My mama doesn't know where I am. He brings me into the jail. They take my mugshot, my fingerprints. There's 3 holding cells. The first one, if you're a biker, I apologize, but the first one is this biker dude. Think about the worst biker guy you could ever imagine. That's him. He was there. The second one was this woman who had very little clothing on. And I'm thinking, I'm in Bible college. I can't be in a cell with her. And the third one was a normal guy like me. I'm sure we all agree I'm normal. And he was just waiting for somebody to bring him some money to pay a ticket. And so the jailer, who was a woman, says, put him in cell number one. That's the biker dude. I go, you can't do this. I said, ma'am, you cannot put me in that cell. She said, why not? I said, look at him. So she put me in the cell number three with the normal guy. And anyway, so I go, I know, I watched TV. I knew I had a phone call coming. So I said, I need my phone call. So I call my mama. Now, my mama owned her own furniture store, and it was a busy day, so it's a collect call. It was a collect call, so she answers the phone. She accepts the charges, and then she says, David, where are you? I said, Mama, I got to tell you something. I lied to you this morning, and I didn't go play golf. I went to pay a ticket, and they put me in jail. She said, David, I don't have time to play. I'm busy. What do you want? I said, Mama, I'm in jail. And at this point in time, they're bringing this criminal through the jail, and he's cussing up a storm. And then that's when she realizes, I'm in jail. So my mama said what any good mama would say. She said, they can't keep you in jail. Let me talk to somebody. My mama said, you can't keep me here. I said, Mama, you can't talk to anybody. My brother-in-law had ran for sheriff of Lafayette Parish. I said, Mama, just call Nick. So my brother-in-law basically finds the judge. They make me a trustee. They put me in an orange jumpsuit and made me wash clothes. But I only had to spend one night in jail, so that was a good thing. But I know this. Peter is in jail, and he's sleeping. I didn't sleep a wink that night. I was scared, swearing to God I'd never speed again. And it's none of your business whether I've kept that promise. The church is praying, Peter is sleeping, and God is not worried because God is in control. Amen? Peter knew God was in control. You know how in control God is? Psalms 139 says, every one of our days are numbered, and they're numbered by the Lord. Psalms 56:8 says that God is saving our tears in a bottle and recording them in his book. I don't know how that happens. Ask Pastor Gabe. He's smarter than me. Luke 12 says he counts the hair on our head. I gave God the day off. I think that at times we should ask God for forgiveness for the petty things we stress out about and the petty things we lie awake worrying about. When we serve the God who is the creator of the universe, can I just remind you that some of us, most of us, have no business being in church today as much of a sinner as we were, but only for the grace of God. Amen? Midnight here represents a deadline. It's midnight, and Peter's in prison waiting to be executed, and he is sleeping. Maybe right now you're facing a deadline. You're facing a deadline with your family, with your job, maybe your finances. And my question for you today is this: are you stressed? Are you wringing your hands and losing sleep? Or do you have it in you to trust in God? We're facing a deadline as a nation. We've just come through a presidential election, and things are in limbo, and you have a side, and you have a side, and I have a side, and we all have our opinions of what should happen, and we can't believe this happened and is happening, and let me just remind you, regardless of what happens, God is sovereign and he is in control. I remember I think it was 92, when President Bill Clinton was elected for the first time. I remember my dad was a man of prayer. But I remember the night that Bill Clinton was elected and the results were still coming in, but he was leading. I remember my dad calling us around the living room. And I remember him saying this to us. If this man is elected, it's all over for America. America cannot sustain a president this liberal. Okay, let me just stop here and say I'd take Bill Clinton back today. But anyway, let's keep going. America cannot sustain, there's no way we can sustain this as a nation. And if Bill Clinton is elected tonight, the rapture of the church is literally on the horizon. God, we can't sustain this. That was in 1992. This is 2020, and we're still here, and God has done amazing things in our nation. And whether or not your president wins or not has nothing to do with the power and the mercy and the love of God upon a nation like America. I sat in an office this week in my counseling office. I had a man come in that I've known. He attends Crossroads. He's been there for over 20 years. And this man literally sat in my office this week and said this to me. I've lost faith in God because what has happened through this election process. I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I can trust God. Because if I were God, this would not be happening this way. To which I said, thank God you're not God. Listen to me. There are bigger things than an election. There are bigger things than what we're facing as a nation. God is in control. And we cannot lose sight of that. God doesn't have time constraints like we do. He's not limited by time and deadlines because God has options we don't have. You remember in John chapter 11, Lazarus dies and Mary and Martha sends word to Jesus that one of his best friends had died. When you go to John chapter 11, verse 6, it says this. Jesus got the word that Lazarus had died and stayed where he was 2 more days. If I die and you stay in Kankton instead of coming to see me in Lafayette, I'm going to assume you don't care about me, right? But God loved him. But God stayed where Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. And this frustrated Mary and Martha. In fact, in verse 21 of chapter 11, when Jesus gets to their house, Mary and Martha literally say to Jesus, if you had been here earlier, our brother would not have died. But Jesus has options that we don't have. And you know the story. Jesus goes to the tomb. The Bible says that Jesus wept, and then Lazarus was raised from the dead. Listen, it's not over till God says it's over. Amen? So God's in control, even when it's midnight, even when you're facing a deadline. Let's go on and read chapter 12, verse 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And then the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Listen, it doesn't matter how late it is. It doesn't matter what the hour is or how close you are to your deadline. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. I think at times we're more focused on our obstacle than we are on our God. And listen, whatever you put your focus on many times becomes the biggest thing in your sight. And that's why many times our obstacles seem bigger than our God. Because we're focusing on the wrong thing. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a crisis, I find myself drawing closer to God than ever before. Right? I'm praying more than ever. I'm reading my Bible more than ever. I'm being vulnerable with God. I'm spending time with God, and I have a feeling when God gets us to that place and we're saying, God, please take this away from me, God's saying, no, I like where we are right now. Because God wants relationship with us. Listen, God is in control even when we suffer. God is in control even when it's midnight. And then God is in control even when our faith is weak. Acts chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Listen, you're about to see what weak faith looks like. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. So they're in the house praying for Peter's release, right? That's what they're praying for. Verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it. So she goes to the door, it's Peter, and she leaves him at the door, and she runs back to tell them it's Peter at the door. Verse 15, they're praying for Peter's release. Peter shows up at the house, and they go, you're out of your mind, they told her. And when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be an angel. God answers their prayer and they still can't believe it. They said, it must be an angel. In other words, they're praying for his release, but they're assuming he's already dead and this is his spirit showing up at the house. Listen to me. These people had weak faith, but God answered them anyway. These people had weak faith, and yet God still answered them. It reminds me of Mark chapter 9. If you go to Mark chapter 9, you see a father bring his son who was possessed by a demon to Jesus. The demons had taken away his speech, and they would literally, when the demons would take over, he would stiffen up in a board, and the demons would throw him into the water or to the fire. And the dad comes and brings his son to Jesus. And Jesus basically says, the dad tells Jesus, if you can heal him, would you? And Jesus says this, if I can heal him, and then the dad says this, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know what that dad's saying? That dad is saying the same thing that I've said before. God, I believe you can. I'm just not sure you will for me. If you want to pray for your healing, I've got faith for you. You want to believe God for a lost loved one? I've got faith that God's going to reach them. But when it comes to my own needs, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. These people had weak faith, but God answered it. God answered their prayer regardless, because faith is important, but God's sovereignty supersedes our faith because God is in control. We should find comfort and encouragement in the fact that God is bigger than our lack of faith. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished or beside themselves. So God is in control even when we suffer. God is in control even when it's midnight. God's in control when our faith is weak. And lastly, God is in control even when the wicked seem to prosper. Listen to this, verse 21. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. And after he spoke, they shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Peter, if you just go a couple of chapters over, the people did the exact same thing to the disciples. They begin to call them God, and the disciples immediately shut them down. But here, Herod gets blown up with pride and lets them call him God. Can I ask you a question? Remember, you're in church. You can't lie. Have you ever wanted God to just come down and slap somebody? I mean, have you ever thought, if I were God, I'd come out of heaven, I'd just slap the cheese out of them. They're so wicked, they deserve it. Right? Have you ever looked at some wicked person or some group of people and thought, God, why don't you do something with those people? Let me just remind you today that the Bible teaches that's what eternity is all about. That's what eternity is all about. There's coming a day when God will bring about his judgment upon wicked people. And every once in a while, God gives us a glimpse of his power toward those who arrogantly reject him. But can I just tell you, instead of filling our hearts with celebration that they got what they deserved, it should literally invoke humility in us, reminding us, but for the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God, but for the day God changed my life and brought me from darkness into his marvelous light, that could be me. Verse 23, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. That's judgment. Listen, it may look like the wicked are prospering today, but remember, there is coming a day when God will be exalted. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And maybe the most important verse of all is this next and final verse that we'll read from Acts chapter 12. Because after all the persecution, after them wondering, where is God? Why doesn't God do something? Why hasn't God stopped this? Listen to verse 24 when it says, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. Because God's got a purpose. And some wicked king won't stop the purpose and the sovereignty of God. God is in control. His kingdom is being built. His agenda is advancing. And we have the advantage that we get to be a part of the kingdom of God. Listen, in the end, nothing delays God, nothing stops God, and nothing is too hard for God, regardless of what you're facing. It's why 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Remember what David said in the book of Psalms where he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Listen, God has not forgotten about you. I don't know your story or what you're facing or what you're going through, but God has not forgotten you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, put your confidence, put your faith, put your hope in the God that is in control. Instead of whatever it is that's creating anxiety in you today. Would you bow your heads? I want to ask you a simple question. If you're here today and you would say, I'm facing something, I've gone through something, I'm going through something, and I just needed to be reminded today that God is in control and I need God to step into my situation. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are and just put it right back down? Yep, yep, yep. All over this auditorium. Can we pray right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know each one of us. God, you know us better than we know ourselves, Scripture says. Because you know the motivations of our heart. God, you know every story here, every situation here, every anxiety here, every disappointment. And Father, today I pray that you would step in and do what only you can do. But God, I pray that we would understand that you work on a different timetable than we do. that you have options we don't have. And God, today I pray that in the midst of it, our faith would be strengthened, our confidence in you would be strengthened. And God, that when it's all said and done, we could look back and say, God was in control the entire time. Lord, don't change what you do or who you are, but God, change us today. God, we're the ones that need to be changed. We're the ones that need our understanding enlightened. Father, I pray today that you'd give us a spirit of understanding that what we're going through is nothing for the God we serve. Hey, as you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, I don't have confidence in God because I've never really surrendered to God. I've never really surrendered to God. I've never really committed all to Him. I've never really given Him the steering wheel of my life and let Him drive. I've tried to be in control instead of surrendering control when it comes to my life and my future. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Christ. Can I just tell you, maybe you're here and you were christened or baptized, or all of those things are a great first start. But can I just tell you, John chapter 3, verse 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, what must a man do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says this, you must be born again. He could have said all kinds of things, but he said, you must be born again. That simply means the day you say yes to Jesus and surrender your life to Him. For me, it was 7 years old. When I was 7 years old, I made a commitment to Christ, and I've had great days and I've had terrible days since, but I've never been the same. It's simple. It's literally as simple as A, B, C. A, you admit that you're a sinner in need of a God, in need of a Savior. B, you believe that Jesus is who He said He was and that He took the punishment for your sin so you wouldn't have to. And then C, you confess Him as Lord. If you're here today and maybe you've never made a commitment to Christ, or you know you are not where you need to be with God, would you just lift your hand right up and put it right back down right now? You're here and you want to make a commitment to God. Thank you. Thank you. Just put your hand up and put it right back down. Thank you. I want to pray a prayer with you, but I want you to let it come right from your heart. I'm going to ask every believer in the room to pray in support of these that lifted their hands today. Can we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my guilt, my sin, and my shame, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.